columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and Dina.
Wait, now, which part did you miss there?
It's John Elway.
Wait, now, which part did you miss there?
The part where Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend is screaming. That's the part that I've missed that
Wait,
part.
Now, which part did you miss there?
Tyler Palumbus!
D-Mac.
My man.
My man.
How you doing today, pal?
I'm doing good, dude. I'm doing great. Beautiful day out there. Had a nice little morning with the family. Got outside, got on a little walk.
Nice.
Know? Yeah, played a little rummy with the kids.
Nice.
Beautiful day.
Good. Are you working out in this whole process?
I do, yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, I do, number one, I do a ton of yoga. And I do that at home on an at-home app. I do cardio at home. I got a little elliptical machine that we get on. And then for the most part, I do push-ups, I do sit-ups, and that's about it.
What's your routine? Like, when do you get to, do you do that stuff right off the bat? Like, you wake up and you
in a normal world, you wake up, you get the kids out to school, right?
Right,
and then you
right.
come back in, and I would do it immediately. Nowadays, you get up, you hang out with the kids for a while, try to get them situated for their schoolwork. By the time they get started with their schoolwork, now you got a little bit of free time.
Okay. All right. I was... I'm trying to be better in general, which makes me realize what were my excuses. I had no excuses before.
So really you're feeling guilty right now. That's what's going on.
Well, I mean, I'm working out now more with the coronavirus thing going on than I was when, you know, everything was cool.
Good.
Yeah, no. So I'm doing something every day, which, you know, it's always.
You know,
like,
what? I bet you there are so many people out there that's doing the exact same thing because you get stuck at home. There's nothing to do. I mean, going on a walk sounds so great, you know?
Yeah.
Let's get outside. Let's do anything.
Yeah. And, you know, I live, like, you know, I've said a million times, I literally live behind Smoky Hill High School, and they put in a gorgeous new track. And I'm out there almost every day now, you know, where. I'm like, what is, I'm outside more now, Tyler. This is sad. Now, this is sad. I'm outside more now than I was before. How pathetic is that? It's just.
Yeah, I mean, I bet you there's a lot of people in the exact same boat, though, man.
Yeah, it's just, I'm shaking my head at myself. But.
Well, D-Mac, maybe you're going to have enough time here that you'll create an actual habit out of working out, and then that's how it happens.
Yeah, I hope so. But I'm not necessarily, if, you know, I'm doing something. Listen, talk about social distancing. But there are people out there all the time. It's just that nobody's anywhere close to each other, and I'm not really touching anything. It's outside. I'm walking around, which I think is okay to do, as long as it's not like I saw something in Chicago. It was like a city park, and it was ridiculous. It was like a parade. There were so many people, like, walking around in the same sphere with each other. It's like, no, that's not the point. I mean, when I'm walking around, I mean, it's like nobody with me. I mean, nobody, except I can see, oh, that person's also walking around with nobody, or that person's out on the field doing something. I mean, forget about 6 feet, Tyler. We're talking about 50 yards at the closest. Of, you know, any kind of, you know, mixing in with somebody.
That's the way I like it, man. The way I like it.
So I got that in today. And then my son reached out to me, you know, from his bedroom. He sent me a text. And he goes, do you want to hit? Now, when he says, do you want to hit, he's the only one hitting. I don't do any hitting. But I do all the picking up the balls, going there with them, setting up the tee, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And, man, I tell you what,
Wait, so do you just go out the backyard onto Smoky Hills, like, practice facilities?
Oh, yeah. We're so lucky.
I mean, he's got no excuse, man. Yeah.
Yeah,
just pop in the backyard to go into the... Yeah, I mean, he could hit in the cage almost every day if he wanted to, right?
There's an outside cage. And the thing is, you know, when this was first going on, there were so many people out there. I mean, it was as if, you know, there were some very loosely structured practices happening. And, you know, they put a kibosh to that. They had to, because it did defeat the purpose of what was going on. It really was, like, too many people out there. And so that's happened. And since that's happened, I mean, you know, dude, it's like there's, like, nobody out there. So when we go out to the outdoor cage, I mean, dude, I'm telling you, it's nobody. It's just me and Dylan. We're just lucky that it's in our backyard.
That's got to, you know what? It's got to be pretty crazy backing up to high school and seeing no activity.
It's crazy.
No kids. No noise. Nothing.
Nothing. It's wild.
That has got to be bizarre. Yeah.
It's sad. I like the during the school season, the hubbub of, you know, stuff happening that we can see, and we see what's going on, and, you know, it's cool, man. I like it. I dig it. You know, I'm glad, you know, it's the best decision of our lives to move where we moved. So my point is, I'd already sort of worked out during the day, and I get it. I'm not doing what he's doing, but I'm looking at this kid, and I'm like, oh, my God, how awesome is it to be 17, 18 years old and, like, in the best shape of your life? You know, it was just feeling so freaking pathetic.
On top of the world, man, senior year in high school.
Do you remember it?
I've never
invincible.
I've never been more proud of myself my entire life than my senior year of high school.
Best shape of your life? Just felt incredible.
Well, I mean, me personally, no, I was like real thin. I was just hitting puberty.
Right. Didn't you say you went to college at, how much did you weigh when you went to college?
When I arrived at CU, I was probably 245, 250, somewhere
as an
in that
offensive
ballpark.
Lineman.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh my gosh.
I'd put on close to 60 pounds.
Holy cow. Still, that probably was... Well, how much do you weigh right now?
Right now, I'm 245-ish.
Wow. So you're the same size right now as you were as a senior in high school.
Yeah, but actually, I mean, I'm way more muscular right now than I was in high school.
Right.
I mean, yeah, we're the same weight, but in high school, I was real thin, dude.
You're a twig.
Yeah.
Where were you getting your weight from then?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you're in pretty good shape right now, so... I mean, if you are at the same weight, where, if you were rail thin, where was your weight coming from back in high school?
Oh, it was just different. It was like sloppy. I had a huge
cut. Right, that's where I've got to go.
Yeah, yeah, it was just sloppy. Yeah. Right now, I mean, I'm a thing of beauty right now.
Oh, it's unquestionable. I'm not arguing that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So anyways, it was just good to just be outside. And, dude, he's throwing like long toss. This is like... I should have videotaped how pathetic I was trying to throw a ball back to him from where... I mean, it was pathetic. It was embarrassing. I know Mark, like, played catch with Daniel the other day, and he videotaped it. But I'm talking, you know, because, you know... And I'm sure Daniel could do the same, but my son from 70, 80 yards, no problem throwing a baseball on, you know, just a line.
Right.
And, dude, so I couldn't even... No, it was so pathetic.
So how far were you?
I mean, you know, he was going back to like over 100 yards throwing a baseball. I mean, it was ridiculous.
But so what would you do? Just walk it back?
This is no joke. It got so bad. I couldn't even throw the ball and have it roll to him. So I had to just pick up a bat and I had to hit it back to him. So I'm trying to hit the ball back to him, but he's, you know, he's like 300 feet away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I couldn't even hit the ball back to him.
Ball's landing about 90 feet out. Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. It was just like a dose of proud, right? Proud, but pathetic at the same time. Proud.
That was a good father-son moment you had, though. That was nice.
It was. And, you know, he's been, you know, a little down in the dumps, man. You know, a lot of these kids. That's why we're trying to, you know, do the senior salute thing, right? Because a lot of these seniors in the spring, they're just missing out, especially in sports, that they just never got their shot. So he's just feeling, you know, I think it goes in waves. You know, you're okay, and then you're like really bummed out because you realize what you're missing. And we realized last night, just like he hadn't done what he normally does. He was just bummed. And we're like, come on, man, let's go. And I was really, really, really happy that he even asked me to go out and participate with them at all. You know, most kids, you know, don't want to have anything to do with their dad and anything. And I'm just pathetically trying to keep up with them. I'm not keeping up with them. I mean, at all. I'm just there to try to help them out. So, you
know, that's cool, man. That's cool.
In this mess, and as with teenagers, and I think a lot of parents of teenagers can identify with it, you just don't get to share all that many more moments. You get it. Your kids are all over you. Your kids probably climb over you like a big tree every single day.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, the second I walk in the door, it's competition for who can get the first hug, and then it's a gigantic fight. You know?
Yeah.
No, I get the first hug.
Yeah, man. That's
they love me right now. I got them fooled.
No, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome time. And, you know, don't take it for granted. It's you're lucky to have it. You earn your luck. You're a wonderful dad and a parent, and you even got a big dog. You got it all coming at you. So
smallest dog I've ever had, by the way.
That's the smallest?
By far. Yeah, I had three English Mastiffs before this one.
Oh, my Lord.
I had one male Mastiff that was 205 to 210 pounds. I had another male Mastiff that was about 190 pounds. And then I had a female that was about, she was about 110.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
What do you got rocking now?
Well, you know, I got that old English sheepdog, and everybody thinks he's enormous, but but he's really not. He just has got, I mean, his fur is like 4 inches long, you know, so he looks enormous. He weighs about 72 pounds, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because he's got a lot of spread.
Yeah.
I've seen those pictures where he's laying down. He looks like a rock.
He looks enormous.
He does. Okay, well, that's a cute little puppy you got going on.
That's
there.
Right. That's right.
Still enormous.
Little toy dog I got.
How old is he?
He is 2.5-ish.
What's his name?
Samson.
Wow, that's appropriate. So he's going to get big. He's going to get huge.
No, he's fully grown now.
Oh, that's it. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he's fully grown.
All right. Okay, in the world of sports, got a bunch of stuff going on here today. Curious to hear John Elway and Vic Fangio talk about Philip Lindsay?
Always.
All right. Who do you want first, Fangio or Elway?
Let's go. I like Elway first.
Here we go.
As Vic said, I think that, you know, the discussions that we had with it, I think it's, we thought it was important that, to have two really good backs over the opportunity of Landon Elvin. We thought it was a good combination.
Huh? Wait, sorry, huh?
What?
Wait, what?
Huh? What?
Como what?
I'm sorry. What he said?
Elvin.
Helvin?
I'm sorry. When we landed, who?
Elvin.
Who? Alvin?
Wait, I'll back this.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Here we go.
Landon. Elvin.
Who is that? Elvin. Who is that?
Elvin.
Good old Helvin. I'm so glad we landed Helvin.
Helvin Morden.
Oh my gosh.
Journey of Landon. Elvin. We thought it was a good combination with Philip. So obviously, there's always concerns and there's always issues when you know, bring somebody in, especially with the 2 years that Philip's had. So we'll continue to work with that. I've talked to Philip's agent, and we'll see what happens or what we can do later on. That's not a guarantee either way, but we'll see what we can do later on.
You know what that was, D-Mac, right?
What's that?
That was just making right to Philip. That's all it was.
Right.
You know, all that was a quick little makeup. Hey,
right,
man, I messed up your name. I'll mess up the Helvin guy as well.
Dude, you're not the first, nor will you be the last.
Yeah, don't feel bad, man. Well, I'll still have contract negotiations where I'm not going to pay you.
Sure. Just ask Case Keenum how that all went. in fairness to John.
Hold on. How many like intro pressers have we had that the name got messed up?
Well, the Keesum one obviously stands out. I think he got Bradley Chubb okay. I mean, he introduced...
Is it just two?
He was trying to introduce somebody else, and he introduced himself. There was that one.
I'd like to start off with a thank you to John Elway.
Correct. And now we've got...
Helvin.
Good old Helvin. But in fairness to John, his phone was not so great on this conference call, and it was breaking up left and right. So,
Elvin.
That's not what that sounded like,
no,
D-Mac.
It sounded like his phone was pretty good on that one.
Elvin.
All right. That's a cool name, by the way, huh? Elvin?
What's wrong with me? Why am I forgetting how he messed up Phil's name?
Oh,
what did he do to Phil again?
Oh man, I got that. Where do I got that? I do got that. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got. Oh, do I got
I'm drawing a blank on that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that obviously we had two good backs in Royce Freeman and Lindsey, Mr. Lindsey.
Holden.
All right. Picking on John. That's not fair. Vic Fangio. Now, you see, Elway said, I talked to his agent, right? Okay.
Yes, got it.
Talked to his agent. He didn't talk to Philip Lindsay. But Vic Fangio.
Well, actually, John and I really talked about it a while back. We both shared the same view on it, which we were both happy to know that the other guy was thinking the same way. And I've talked to Philip, talked to him yesterday, as a matter of fact, and we really didn't talk about that part of it. You know, Philip is a competitor. You know, he's just not going to give away his job or his carries. And it's pretty commonplace in the NFL right now to have two backs share the running back duties. There's a lot of work there to be had between the both of them, and we'll see how it unfolds.
By the way, that's not me or you dinging. That's just the conference call. There was a bunch of people on it. So
that's funny. I just checked both my devices.
Right.
I checked my laptop, and then I checked my phone.
Everybody listening to us was just looking it down. Like, wait, what's going on? I got a message?
Nope.
No.
That was Coach Fangio with the message.
So he did talk to Philip. Now, that was interesting, too, because he said him and John were on the same page. Huh. Was it that obvious that they would be on the same page, and that maybe we should all have been on the same page about the running back situation then?
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, that's a little bit different. You've got inside that organization, they've been talking about their needs for a long time, so yeah, they had plenty of opportunity to turn that around. I don't know. I mean, I still view it as a bit of a luxury pickup. It just was. It was a position in which you had a very capable starter in place. If you got somebody better, it's a luxury.
You know, I think the thing that hurt Philip the most was the pass catching. And, you know, we're not there every day in practice, are we, Tyler, to see what goes on?
Maybe no, but we act like we are.
No, well, maybe you can explain. If a guy is just not looking smooth doing something, can you tell in practice?
That was a very generic question, D-Mac.
Well, Philip Lindsay.
Can you specify that a little bit?
If Philip Lindsay really wasn't catching the ball well, didn't look smooth catching the ball,
yeah,
was having problems catching the ball,
would you notice it in practice?
That's right.
Yeah, of course you would. Of course you would. I mean, that doesn't just happen on game day.
Right, so that means there's reasons why they weren't throwing him the ball, right? Or not throwing him the ball enough. Like, we're just getting a very small sample of what they're seeing on a relatively regular basis.
Of course, yeah. I mean, they go into the game with a game plan, and the game plan is developed throughout the week. And certainly when you're talking about personnel decisions, you know, personnel, that's decided in training camp. It's pretty much over. They decide like their groupings. They decide when they're going three wide, who's going to be on the field. They decide who they want to feature in the passing game, all that sort of stuff. That's really done in the offseason.
So we're not talking that, you know, we all look and say, what are you talking about, Philip Lindsay? We saw him catch the ball a million times at CU, and he looks fine to us. There must be something else going on. I mean, they must be looking at film, or there must
be something. Maybe, D-Mac, maybe, or maybe they just flat out were worried about him holding up in the long run. Maybe they flat out didn't think that, you know, because the way Pat Shurmur runs his offense, he's got a workhorse running back. Maybe he didn't feel like Phil could handle that load. I mean, it could be one of a million things. I'm confident that you're right, that the passing game was a part of the decision, a positive of that. You know, how it all adds up, I don't know. At the end of the day, they decided they needed a better starting running back.
Oh, we're getting a little bit of an explanation. Thank you, Kevin Kistner, for sending this to us from Ryan O'Halloran. Because we were wondering, why is Elway's phone, I mean, it was like so bad on the conference call. Vic called from home. Elway called during a walk around his neighborhood.
I like it. I like it.
So you're doing a it was like a 17-minute conference call, And John had to get his walk in.
Yeah, you know, well, yeah, I'm sure he had some headphones on, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So. I like it. Yeah, I mean, that's beautiful. You're going to keep me at home, then I'm going to do what I want on my time. And if you happen to call me during my time, then hey, that's on you.
I got to walk. Oh, you schedule it for 10 o'clock? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to be halfway through my walk. You know, I guess we can do it at 10.
Didn't know it was going to be so windy.
I got these earbuds, you know, working. I mean, it's
Alvin.
Right. You know?
Which part did you miss there?
You know, like everything. We couldn't understand a word you were saying, but.
I don't know. He sounds in shape. I couldn't tell he was breathing hard.
Oh, no. He sounds fabulous. I'm sure his heart rate was, you know, 170 BPMs. What else we got here? I got a bunch of stuff. What else is interesting you about Fangio? Here's Fangio on bringing in Melvin Gordon.
I always thought Melvin Gordon was a good back. And, you know, if you remember, his first game back this year, this past season from his holdout, was against us, game 5 out there in L.A. So one of the things I did was went back and watched all his touches against the Broncos 2 games in 2018. And
what is going on? What is going on?
That is...
for the love, what is happening? I can't focus on his words.
Right. You're right. I can't either.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, I was on the conference call, and you know what's funny? I was actually on the treadmill today while the conference call was going on, but I had my phone on mute, and I was just, like, listening in. But when people were, like, coming in or coming out, you know, it's this conference call where everybody's kind of joining or...
Right.
You know what? I really don't know, dude.
That's not what that was. That was like an old school flip phone that was vibrating on a wooden desk or something.
It's got to be Fangio's then, right?
Yes.
Yeah, what is?
I mean, that makes sense. There's no way he has an iPhone.
What is going on here?
Against the Broncos 2 games in 2018. And...
Or somebody running the paper shredder in the background?
All right, look at
gosh.
All right.
You got away.
Well, hey, it's important to look
good. I thought
good.
It was... it was funny.
Okay. Anyway, we'll get to more of it later. We're having a case of the giggles. Oh, my goodness. The water cooler. This is going to be our best water cooler of all time because we have legitimate news about Shaquille O'Neal and Tiger King. And we did not get to – have you watched the whole thing?
Yeah, man. I'm done.
All right. You have your notes? Are you ready to talk a little Tiger King?
Yeah, this is going to be more big picture, but yes, I'm ready.
Listen, Tiger King was so crazy, I forgot Shaquille O'Neal was on Tiger King until this story came up. That's the water cooler. And that is next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Well, Tyler. Tiger King.
Come on, fake Joe Exotic.
I know. By the way, remember how we said... Tell all the hunters. We said, man, this music sounds really good. Like,
yep. Like, man, he missed his calling. Like, this is what he should have been doing.
I was asking you, is this kind of legit country because you're a country fan? And you're like, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, turns out, It's a real country band.
I know.
It's just an unsigned band. Like,
it's somebody he hired and then he just was doing lip singing.
That's it. But he put it out as him. Like, it was his CD.
He put out a, he had like three albums.
Like, he's the Milli Vanilli of country music. So, talk about a fun little twist. I mean, now that makes sense, right?
Of course.
I mean, listen to this. It's not bad. It's actually kind of cool.
No, I told you, this is good.
Of course, I love the song. You know, this is the environmental song. The other song is about Carol Baskin feeding her husband to the Tigers.
Wholesome, middle America stuff.
Yeah, so I guess Joe Exotic knew this band, and the band's not even from Oklahoma. They're from, like, Vancouver or something. And he would just sort of give them some notes about, hey, I'd like a song about Carol Baskin feeding the tiger to her husband, and they wrote Here Kitty Kitty. You want to play a little Here Kitty Kitty, Kevin?
I think we should.
So people know what we're talking about? It's got this groovy beat, man. Anyways, we can set this up because the eating the husband comes a little bit later in the song. So Shaquille O'Neal was on the show, Tyler. And Shaquille O'Neal has now said he had no idea what was going on behind the scenes at the zoo, even though he had been there a couple times. He goes, so we go there, it's a beautiful place, and there was Exotic Joe. We're there, I dropped some donations to the Tigers. We take pictures with the Tigers. We went back a couple times, and we went another time, and I found out he's involved with all that stuff, and then I stopped going. O'Neal did say that he loves especially white Tigers. He's a Tiger fan, but no, despite what he said on TNT, saying he got a couple of the Tigers, he is now denied having any of the Tigers. So Shaquille O'Neal's trying to distance himself, Tyler, from Joe Exotic.
Now I'm getting confused on what I saw and where I saw it. I thought in Tiger King, Shaq was like in there like buying Tigers or something.
Well, that's
what
he said.
Did I just make that up? Am I dreaming this?
No, that's what he said, and he's denying that he did that.
What? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, here, turn it up a little bit. Turn it up.
What was every male in America thinking when they realized you could buy a tiger for $2,000?
You can't find this taste in the zoo. Here, kitty, kitty. This is Carol Baskin fed her husband to the tigers. She sure loved you. That song is literally about a woman, Carol Baskin, feeding her husband to her tigers, because that's the big rumor. Do you think, after watching Tiger King, Tyler, Carol Baskin fed her husband to the tigers?
Yes.
You do.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. She is equally as crazy as a ball.
Do you think they need to dig up the septic tank?
I don't know what she did with the remains specifically, D-Mac. I just think she's guilty.
Yeah, well, the rumor is that all the bones and stuff are under that septic tank.
I know, I saw that. I'm like, how did those rumors even come about?
You know, when you're watching the documentary and you're about halfway through and all of a sudden the whole thing twists on Carol Baskin, were you shocked?
Yeah, for sure. At the end of the day, that story was about Carol Baskin. That's what it was all featured. Yeah. Oh, man. And she is something. She is special. She is one special person that she started out like buying tigers at auctions and selling them and breeding them. Yeah. And then like somehow she twisted that into, oh, we bought out every single pet farm in America because we bought all their animals. We put them all out of business. And I'm like, gosh, this lady is twisted.
Twisted.
Yes.
And she's hiding behind PETA and animal rights groups. And she is just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah.
And clearly.
Then you got crazy affliction dude that looks like he does live in Vegas.
Right, Jeff.
All of a sudden just pulls a coup on the zoo.
Right.
I mean, just straight takes over the zoo. Now they're moving it to a new place, and I'm like, well, what's happening to all these animals right now?
Right.
I don't even know what to think. I don't even know how to process the final three or four episodes there.
By the way, somebody sent me a note, quite a few of those tigers, and up in Colorado, that there's some sort of tiger sanctuary here in Colorado.
Out by the airport. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, out by the airport.
there's a tiger sanctuary out near the airport in Colorado, in Denver?
Yes, there's like a, I forget what the name of it is. Let me find it real quick.
Really? I definitely did not know that.
I didn't know that the animals came from Joe Exotic, but...
How about when Joe Exotic was shooting a video?
The wild animal sanctuary in Keensburg.
Keensburg. Okay, wow. I did not know that. I definitely will not be going there. So I wish him the best.
Wait, hold on. They bought... What do you mean they came from Joe Exotic? Like, they bought him from him?
Well, they had to go somewhere. I mean, he had like 180 freaking tigers.
How do you know?
Around.
But how do you know this? How do you know this about the Colorado one?
Somebody sent on the text line they had some sort of... I'm just believing the text line. Maybe they're totally...
Yeah, that's a pretty strong accusation. But I want to be sure on...
I'm just not going to trust any... After watching this documentary, I'm not trusting any place that does any of this stuff. I am not. If it's not like the Denver Zoo or, a big-time, like, zoo. Even a zoo.
I don't know. Who's to assume that the zoos didn't buy it from these people?
Hey, I get it, dude. I get it. But I'm curious what your other observations you had.
Oh, man. I don't know, D-Mac. That it just got so... I mean, the husband and what... I don't want to spoil everything, so I don't know if we can say that one. But
Did you like that he married two straight dudes? He married two straight guys.
I mean, were they entirely straight? I mean, were they...
well, you know, right? I guess, but I mean, how about this? I mean, this is awful. The guy basically killing himself
on
video.
That's what I was trying not to say.
Right, that was horrible.
But apparently you didn't care.
No.
But yes.
Well, that was a big part of the story.
I know. That's why I was trying not to tell the world.
And then Joe Exotic's giving this very graphic description of stuff.
Well, it's all on video. It's all on video. Okay, here's one. How do they have... everything on video. I'm not just talking about Joe Exotic and
it's
his
incredible.
TV show. I'm talking about Doc Yanel. I'm talking about
everything.
Carol. I'm talking about they've got every phone conversation.
I mean,
that Jeff, what was his name? Jeff guy that pulled the coup.
Right.
They've got all of his conversations on how he tries to set up Joe Exotic. How do they have all of that?
They were filming everything. And then the guy that kind of looks like Mike Evans, if Mike Evans put on a few pounds on the jet ski, they got this weird dude flopping around.
Stop.
Like, what is this guy?
No, that guy looks like Chucky.
Well, that doesn't look a little like Mike Evans if Mike Evans had more hair?
Oh, man.
No? Am I wrong?
No, I don't think Mike looks like Chucky.
No? Oh, well, okay. All right, so Tiger King, what do you give it? And we can be done talking about Tiger King. But.
Tiger King was one of the most interesting shows I've ever seen. I don't even know if I liked it, actually. I don't even know if I, like, loved it. I was just fascinated by it.
You couldn't stop watching it.
Yeah, I mean, it was so, like all of it was just dark and twisted and just sad. You felt gross, you know?
All right, well, there you go. And Shaquille O'Neal says, I didn't really buy tigers from there, even though he said he did.
Yeah.
Do you think he's fibbing on that? Do you think Shaq actually did buy some tigers from him?
Well, I think he fibbed one way or the other, yes.
Right. I bet he did. I bet he did buy some. You know, I don't know what you do with tigers once you buy a tiger. Like, what, I mean,
you put it in a kennel in the basement.
So ridiculous, dude. It's so freaking ridiculous. Okay. Enough with Tiger King. Here, Kitty Kitty. And we can all agree Carol did feed her husband to the tigers. At least we have a point of agreement on that. Melvin Gordon was doing an interview, had some interesting things to say. We'll have details of that coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Well, we're looking forward to having going over Todd McShay's new mock draft with football at 4 in about 15 minutes. That'd be cool. Melvin Gordon was on with Taylor Rooks, whoever that is, from Bleacher Report. And he had a bunch of things to say, Tyler. I'd like to play some for you. this is kind of interesting how he's staying in shape.
They closed down the gym, so... You know, it's tough for everybody. So right now, you're just trying to find a ways to get it in how you can, jogging here and there. My boy James White got that. It's called the Peloton. Yeah. He got that. So, he's 5 minutes down the street. So, I tried to order one, but they, due to coronavirus, they stopped shipping. But he has one, so I go to his house and try to, work out that way. But it's tough right now.
It is interesting seeing how everybody's trying to get their workouts in, right, Tyler?
Anybody ever heard of that thing? It's like a Peloton. You ever heard of that?
The Peloton, the bike thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You feel shame, apparently, your husband gets you one, and then you got to, basically start working out.
It wouldn't be tough at all as a professional athlete to work out at home. It really is not. Yeah. Now, in the long run, that would add up, mostly with weights. It would get difficult. I mean, you would have to be super creative in order to get true strength training in. But in a short term, if we're talking about like a month, 6 weeks, something like that, man, you can get by. There are so many creative things you can do. I mean, Lauren Landau over at the Broncos, man, I was training with him from the time I was like 16 years old all the way until the day I retired. And he would always come up with these awesome hotel workouts whenever I was going to be gone for an extended period of time. And I would walk out of those things smoked. It's not that hard, dude.
You can figure it out.
Yes, absolutely.
Not that big of a deal.
For sure.
You don't have to go over to your...
I mean, this is what you do, like you work out for a living. You can find creative ways to work out.
This is kind of interesting. Did he choose the Broncos to get revenge on the Chargers?
There was a report that said that you took less money with the Broncos because you wanted to play the Chargers twice. Is there any truth to that?
No,
there's a little hesitation. That's not true.
That's not true because he was just going to go to whoever paid him the most money, Tyler.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, if the Chargers gave him more money, he would have been a Charger.
I mean, DJ Reader chose the Cincinnati Bengals over the Broncos because he got it's $3 million over 3 years or whatever, so maybe that's not a little bit of money. But trust me, do you think Melvin Gordon would turn down more money?
Heck no. Heck no, man. Running backs know it's impossible to get paid. You get an opportunity to get paid, you go take the highest payday you can get because the likelihood of you getting another contract is slim to none.
Right. He tried to explain why you should pay running backs.
Just watch the film. Just watch the film and just, see how we contribute and see all we do. When a game, when you got to grind it out, where they use it. Who's running the ball? Who's receiving the ball? We do what the receiver do. We do what running back's supposed to do. We block in a sense. So I guess you could say we do what tight ends do in a sense. But like we really have to do it all. To make it work.
Tough reality these running backs are facing these days, isn't it?
Sort of, but it's a little bit been like a reawakening of the giant running back all at the same time, D-Mac. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like running backs get paid every single year, but you've seen a resurgence in the workhorse running back. It had gone away. Every team in the league was using a 2 or 3 man rotation of running back. And now, man, we got Todd Gurley's, we got the Ezekiel Elliott's, we got Saquon Barkley, you got Melvin Gordon. I mean, they're a dime a dozen nowadays. So with a workhorse guy comes a bigger contract.
Right. Well said. And what do you think is about to happen with the Broncos, Melvin Gordon, Phillip Lindsay? What do you guys, what does everybody really think is about to happen?
You're going to see Melvin Gordon carrying about 70% of the time, maybe even a little bit more. So, yeah. 7 out of 10 carries, if you got 10 carries, 7 of those are going to Melvin Gordon.
You really do have Phillip Lindsay as an insurance policy right now. That's really what Phillip is. It's not a 1-2 punch. It's not about having two great backs. He's an insurance policy. And if Melvin Gordon does get hurt, okay. I mean, there you go. Now Phillip's back to doing what he was doing before.
Well, Andy's a very cheap insurance policy. I mean, extremely cheap.
Right. But it's not a 1-2 punch, right?
I don't know. I just, when Phillip Lindsay's involved, he finds a way to get on the field. That's just all I know about the guy. That just time in, time out, he finds a way to get on the field. So I think at the beginning, it's going to be about, every 7 to 8 reps are going to go to Melvin Gordon in the early goings.
Yeah.
As the season progresses, man, I would not be surprised whatsoever if Philip Lindsay starts getting his carries picked up.
Well, hey, man, good for Philip. If, boy, what an accomplishment that would be. You know, you think he's overcome some things before.
I mean, would that surprise? It wouldn't surprise me in the remotely. Not even remotely.
And, like, what game do you think? Game three, game four? What do you think?
I bet by game three, he has had an opportunity. And if he really showcased that opportunity, I bet you by game four, then he's back in the mix. I mean, you know.
Really? Are you making that prediction?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what's going to happen?
I am going to make that prediction. I'm totally comfortable with that.
Ah, so Melvin Gordon's going to be a complete financial and bust then.
Well, if you got 1,000 yards out of him, what if you had close to 2,000 yard backs? How'd you feel about that?
I'd feel great.
Yeah.
That would be a 1-2 punch.
Then you wouldn't feel like that was a financial bust?
No, not. No, I wouldn't, because I know when Melvin Gordon was acquired in free agency, everybody else doesn't pay attention to that. So you heard John Elway and Vic Fangio say this is something they've been thinking about. We know Philip Lindsay has to work on his pass catching or route running or whatever. Everybody knows it. Philip knows it. His age, everybody knows it. So no surprises there. So,
I mean, dude, the momentum with Philip Lindsay, it's just going to be, it's inertia. You know, once it gets started, it's insurmountable. You can't stop that force. If he gets an opportunity in Denver, like especially playing at home, if that opportunity comes while playing at home, yeah, and he has a breakout game where he rushes for 115 or whatever it might be because Melvin Gordon has a sprained big toe, guess what? This fan base, it will be so momentous, it will be impossible to stop it.
All right, well, always interesting stuff. We'll hear more from John Elway and Vic Fangio as we go through things this afternoon. But Todd McShay has put out basically the dream mock draft for Broncos fans. The absolute positively best-case scenario for two rounds, and that's next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.